This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
Oh, tranquilo, everybody. Tranquilo. Good morning, Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan. Lovely to be here with you. Still live on location in Kauai. A couple more days. Your old pal Woodsy's going to be flying back in to San Diego. We got an echo, somebody said. Let's see.
You sound fine.
No, it's because you keep unmuting yourself. There we go.
No, are we good? Okay.
We're fixed.
Cool. All right, good deal. Thank you, Paulie. Tranquilo, everybody. You know, calm down. We're going to be all right. It's okay. Just one game. We will talk about it today. I want to say good morning to the homies back there in the studio. I know I sound like death. had made the weakest cup of coffee that you've ever tasted this morning. It's basically water and creamer. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindl's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, as you can tell. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, Woods. Am I sensing, and I know this sounds bad, but I understand where it's coming from. Am I sensing a little vacation fatigue from Woods?
I'm a little fatigued. Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, just a little bit.
Nothing will get less sympathy, I guess, than vacation fatigue.
I know.
But it is like a real thing. I don't know that I could go away for as long as you have and not start to get a little stir crazy.
I think, well, honestly, like, you know, I signed up for this, and it's the working during vacation that is making me the most fatigued because my schedule is so out of whack. Look, if I'm on vacation, then if I'm a sales guy and I, you know, can send a couple emails, maybe make a couple calls at my leisure during the day, it's different. Having this show is different. It's a different thing that, you know, 1% of people would ever understand. So it's different. The time schedule's different. I go to bed at, you know, 7:30 here. Well, that's 10:30 back home. I don't go to bed at 10:30 back home. So I'm wiped out. And like I said, finally learned how to make coffee in a coffee maker this week. My wife, now you could tell she's fatigued. The first few days of the trip, I would get up and my coffee would already be brewing. Right? She would dial it in. That's out. That's done. The newlywed phase is over. Okay? So that's gone. I get up now. I had to learn how to make my own coffee in a coffee maker. And I guess I didn't sprinkle enough of the grounds in it.
Oh,
or
it
I used
be much
too much
more
water.
Than a sprinkle is maybe a problem. You should be heaping scoops.
He's like,
of
I don't know,
coffee
put like seven or eight beans in there. In there and... I don't know, sprinkle just, that over some
just some, beans.
Crack them with a hammer once or twice. Throw like five beans in there and, you know, a gallon of water. Good
just
to go.
Put them in your fist and squeeze really tight and then they'll just kind of crumble and turn into coffee.
So there's this really, really good coffee here. You guys are coffee guys, right? Like you guys like coffee.
Yes.
Maybe I'll bring you a bag. I don't know if you've
right
ever
here.
Had... I don't know if you've ever had Lion, L-I-O-N, coffee.
I've heard of it.
It, well, when she makes it, it is spectacular. When I make it, it's creamer water. It's just creamer water is what I'm basically drinking right now. So my every day my coffee sucks, man. So it was all clear. I was like... Oh, I don't really have time to make another cup and probably would have butchered it anyway. You know, like Hannah does, she owns a real estate company. So she's fine. She's having a ball. She's sleeping in. She's getting, I got to send a few emails. I got to call this property manager. I got to get this open house set up. Like, no big deal. This one's a little bit different. So, yeah, but I, you know, it's a long time to be away, and I like to be at home. I'm a homebody, as it were. It is so beautiful here. I don't want to disparage the great island of Kauai.
Is this the longest vacation you've ever been on, or what is the longest trip? I don't know that I've ever done.
I think it's longer than I've ever gone anywhere, for sure.
Yeah, 10 days might be the absolute max, like, maybe for me, being away from home.
You know,
trying to think.
I've gone, yeah, this is probably, like, with my family, for like, sure.
That's a
I
long
mean,
vacation.
Not even close. Yeah. With the kids, I mean, it's no question. We've already decided All right, we've already decided next year we're going to do eight. We're going to do 8 days, which is better than 10, which would mean we'd be coming home today, which feels, you know, about right. But yesterday was like, it was a rainy, overcast day. And, you know, basically we went to breakfast, we went to lunch, and I went and picked up dinner. Other than that, we didn't do a whole lot. You know, I watched the game on my phone, just kind of around the house. Now, the funny part was, so we have this, you know, listen, we've got two little boys, and we have noticed, and Ben, you can relate, and I think a lot of parents out there can relate as well. When you have little kids, you'll find that they really like electronics. Okay, electronics is a real easy babysitter. And we see it all the time in restaurants. Big family out, there's four kids all on their iPad. And we made a concerted effort to say, no, let's not do that. Let's not have to go to the phone or go to the iPad when we want our kids to behave. Okay, so that's just a thing that we've talked about. We talk about it all the time. There are certain times where you're like, you know what? You're right. It's pouring rain outside. We're not going anywhere. Feel free to use your iPad for a little bit, even though we know it's going to melt your brain and you're both going to be little peckerheads the rest of the day. Like, we know that. And so yesterday I said that Hannah goes, what do you think? I go, you know what? It's kind of a lazy day. Let them watch movies on their iPad. No games. She goes, okay, I agree. So we give them their iPads for about 30 minutes. They both come in, sad look on their face. Can we please play a game, please? And I'm in my room. Like, I'm just laying down after the show. So Hannah walks in about an hour later. She goes, not only are they playing games, but I actually had to buy a game for both of them. She goes, that's really great resolve on your part, isn't it? And I started laughing. I wasn't busting her balls. I just started laughing. She goes, oh, yeah, not only are they playing games, I had to buy a game for each of them. So they wanted to play mine. Just completely, Polly, like just the one bright light in the interrogation room, and they put the screws to her, and she completely folded, ratted everybody out. And, yeah, and so they ended up playing Minecraft for a little bit of the afternoon. And then, go figure, both were complete a-holes the rest of the night. So, you know, you live and you learn. You live and you learn, and you do what you can. But, yeah, man, you know, Taylor especially, dude, you snatch that iPad from him. It is like taking a bone from a dog. Like, good luck getting your hand back without a bloody stump.
You ran into the, I think, one of the great dilemmas of parenting, because when they ask for something very politely, really want to give it to them because you want to reward the way they ask. Like, they didn't beg. They just came in and said, please, you know, would it be possible? And you said, you know what? We're on vacation. I would really like to reward that nice request that you made. But then, of course, you know, later you do feel like you regretted the decision that you made.
Big time. And then, you know, so we know exactly what's going to happen this morning when they get up. Guess what they're going to want to do? They're going to want to play Minecraft, and it is what it is, man. So now we're up against it the next couple of days. But yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little homesick. I miss being home, miss my routine at home. Bo's missed out on a couple of baseball workouts for his team. You see the emails and the texts coming through like, hey, we're going to practice on Wednesday. I'm like, oh God, that's two practices he's missed. They're going to leave him behind. You know, I'm missing out on stuff. I said it yesterday. When you're here, yes, I'm watching the game. I watched every pitch of the game. I still feel left out a little bit. When I'm over here, I just feel like I'm not in the mix. So, I miss my Eco Water. Yes, Nick, thank you very much. I miss my cats. Certainly, I just miss my house.
Miss your round tables.
So,
I mean,
I miss the round table so much. Oh God, I'm going to miss it this week again for the second week in a row. I'm going to miss the round table. I miss Adam. I miss his bald head. I miss you guys. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, hopefully today will be a little different. I think we're going to go snorkeling, which we've done like four times. So we're gonna go snorkeling. Paul, yes, I know I'm in Hawaii. It's beautiful. And I took a picture of the sunset. I took a picture of the sunset last night that was just staggering. I'll send it to Paul. You can put it up in the next break. It was just amazing. It was really, really beautiful. But yeah, I'm just homesick, dude. I miss home. I like being at my house. That's kind of what I live to do. I like watching the games on a big TV, not on my telephone. I can't watch it on my iPad here because they won't let you watch it on Wi-Fi. It's weird. This has been cool though. I have run into, I'm not joking you, everywhere we go, everywhere, cause I'm in my Padres lid and, my kids are in their lids and Hannah's in a lid everywhere I go. Yeah, hell yeah. Go Padres. Go Padres. I've run into 24 Padres fans that have been out here. We met a really nice family last night at Pink's Ice Cream, by the way, which is if you ever come out to Kauai, make sure you hit Pink's one or two times. It's the most delicious ice cream. And they were all Giants fans. And we were all sitting there. They were at a table. We were at a table. We were eating our ice cream, talking about how beautiful Oracle is, how beautiful Petco is, how much we both love our teams, how much we both hate the Dodgers. Then a guy walked by and he goes, hell yeah, Padres, good. Hell yeah, Giants. He goes, I'm a Rockies fan, so I root for you guys because I hate the Dodgers. So yeah, it's, there's a lot of Dodger haters and a lot of Padres fans out here. So it's kind of a natural fit.
Well, I actually do understand where you're coming from in terms of your vacation and wanting to be home at some point. So I'm glad you'll be back in a couple of days. By the end of this week, you'll be sitting in this chair next to us in this studio, and things will feel back to normal very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering when my life is going to get back to normal, though, because I have been... I've been double duty at Channel 10 now for the last week and a half, filling in for Kimberly Hunt, doing the anchoring of the evening news. Hopefully a few of you tier ones have caught me at the 4, 5, 6, 7, and 11 o'clock news every single night, and I've really enjoyed it. It's the last few months that I've been kind of the backup anchor, and it's been a fun, unique challenge, but I've never had a stretch like this. This was yesterday was my 7th straight weekday anchoring the news, and I'm starting to get
punchy.
A little bit, just, you know, it's a different schedule. It's a long day of, you know, both radio and television. I'm used to long days, but it's definitely a little bit different. It's a lot more talking. When I was, when I do sports, yes, we talk for 4 hours in the morning, but yeah, pretty much in TV, I talk for 4 minutes, you know, in the rest of the day. I can just sit there and do a lot of writing and editing and it's quiet. But when I'm anchoring, it is talk for another 3 or 4 hours worth of talking later in the day. So it's actually kind of fatiguing. Not, you know, we can start the violins for me as well, all the talking that I have to do all day. But I think it started catching up to me yesterday because we were recording some elements for the news, and I could not get the words out. It was just one flub after another. Start over, take two, take three, take four. One of our longtime producers, Michael, said, and he laughed, but he said, I don't think I've seen you flub that much in 20 years combined as you did just yesterday alone in recording one show of the news. And I go, I think I'm starting to feel the grind here of doing both of these jobs for 2 straight weeks.
No question, Ben. There's no question that's what it is, man. You know, we have a clock, a battery. You know, the human body has a battery, and the battery needs to get recharged. Now, I will say, for me, the battery is recharged like a mf'er, dude. I'm as relaxed and rested as I've been. I relaxed yesterday. I didn't do a damn thing. I didn't have to go anywhere other than, you know, a delicious lunch at Kenji Burger, which was fantastic.
Ooh, that like sounds we had, good.
It was on, I had a katsu chicken bowl that was just ungodly with spicy slaw.
It's like fried chicken, Hawaiian fried chicken, Japanese fried chicken.
Oh my God. It was delicious, man. And, you know, my body is recharged, but I was thinking about that the other day. I was in the shower and I was thinking, you know what? I was thinking about you while I was in the shower, Ben.
You were.
And I was. And I thought that dude used to flub so much, and he doesn't really flub much anymore. A couple, you know, here or there. Maybe we just don't call him out like we used to, but we've had some all-timers.
Three,
auto,
two,
auto-run rates. You know, I mean, but remember, live on the air, he'd say auto roan rates. Like, he would flub and flub and flub. And I think you've locked it in. But yeah, man, I can totally see how you're just absolutely cashed and you don't, it's just hard to do.
I could not say the word redistricting yesterday.
Redistricting.
Yeah, that was one of the big stories with what's going on in Texas and voting on redistricting. And I just could not say that word with, you know, news anchor authority. Redistricting. Right. It was so hard for me last night.
Now, I will ask, you know, why don't we have those raw clips of that last night? Michael couldn't send them over.
Yeah, you need someone kind of sitting there editing and, you know, pulling every single mistake I made. We'd have an entire new segment of Ben's Flubs just from yesterday. Fortunately, really none of them made the air. When I was live, I was okay. So there's something about, you know, and KG said it in the chat, F it, we'll do it live. Something about being live that changes your mindset a little bit. When I'm on tape and I know that it's not, you know, the red light is not necessarily transmitting out to everybody, there's something in your brain where you just let down just a little bit. But when you know it's live, somehow you just lock in a hair more, and I make far fewer mistakes when it's live now. And I do think, you know, changing my sleep schedule, get just an hour extra sleep, has been big for the lowering of the flubs in the last year and a half or so.
Yeah, no question about it. I would like, maybe we can revisit some flubs today, some of our favorite flubs, because, you know, since it's in the news and stuff. Here's the other thing that would, I don't know, am I a jerk?
Browns,
to think?
Bengals, Ravens, 3-2-2 teams in that division. Ballast Point Beer, the official craft beer of the San Diego Padres, at Ballast Point in Little India.
He's not 35.
But he will be before the contract is done.
What is a contract?
I miss those days so much, actually, now that you replay some of
it. Holiday season is almost here.
30 days, half September. September.
That's you.
September.
And that is don't and do do this don't, for a Wednesday.
Don't.
Don't. Don't.
What is don't?
I forgot how good some of these are. You know, does it make me a jerk to Ben and Paul and you guys listening? You know, filling in for someone is, that's, you do it. You're a good teammate. Filling in for a couple weeks is, it's a lot, but, you know, you do it. You're a good teammate. I'm assuming that an anchor makes more than a sports guy. So there should be some sort of little boost, little bump, some sort
good
of
point.
Some, there should be something where they're like, hey, here's a little something for the effort, Benjamin.
I've gotten a couple of very nice pats on the back for the effort.
I mean, ultimately,
pat on the back.
You're absolutely right. Like, if you're filling in for a higher position that pays more, for more than, like, I don't know, a day, but even if it is a day, like, let's be honest, you should get that rate.
I don't know. When Bryce Johnson, like, gets a start for Fernando Tatis Jr., if they want to give him a day, do they pay Bryce Johnson the Fernando Tatis Jr. rate?
They are both.
He's not a day laborer.
Yeah, they are both MLB outfielders.
When Bryce Johnson gets hurt and they have to bring up Trenton Brooks again to go out and play the outfield, guess what? He gets big league pay.
That's true. He goes from minor league pay to big league pay.
He gets big league pay. He absolutely does. And they start accruing that and, you know, to eventually get service time and all that. So I think that is actually a real thing. And, you know, the problem is with guys like yourself and honestly guys like me too, we just say, yeah, sure, sounds good. Whatever you need, we'll do it.
Carl wants to know if Sam Levitt got double pay for doing both the pre, post, and the play-by-play last night. That's a good question.
He did all of that?
He did all of it last night. Did his own pregame show, called the game with Bob Scanlon.
It was the Sam Levitt show from 5:40 to, what, 10:30, 11 o'clock?
I was impressed. I mean, I was going, this is hardcore, Sammy. You did the entire thing without break for 5+ hours.
Jesse Agler is doing the TV broadcast, probably going like, hey, bro, what are you thinking? Like, come on. Don't let them think that I'm going to start doing that.
That's the other thing is that, you know, you do it and everyone's like, oh, you kiss ass.
Right.
You know, you feel like you're crossing the picket line or something, man. But no, look, at the end of the day, I'm happy to be here with you guys. You see my shirt I wore in your honor today, Benjamin?
I do. There I am. Rasta Ben and his loose cannabis.
Yeah, I had this. I put this in the suitcase just to wear in your honor, because I do appreciate you. I respect you, and I'm glad that you're here. But no, man, I'm you know, look, we'll go out today as a family. We'll go snorkeling. I'm sure the kids will beat the crap out of each other. And yeah, there's a picture. Polly put it up in the. You can see Taylor running away. He did not want to be in the picture. So there's Bo in the sunset picture. And then there's Taylor running away because he was grumpy because he wanted water. And we had left the water at the house when we went to look at the sunset. And I said, hey, you know, if you keep crying for water and asking for it, it's not going to make it materialize any faster. But that's literally the view, guys. That's 100 yards from our house. We walked down. We've spent a lot of time on that beach. That beach is where we were when we got evacuated. It's Hanalei Bay. That's, see in the background, that little mountain range that with the snout that looks like it in the water?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Puff the Magic Dragon, buddy. That's so it was written here, you know, in a land called Hanalei.
Great. Was just the name of the boy's magic dragon.
Are you a pothead fucker? So that's Puff. And that's our beach, man. That's where we sit and spend most of our time. It is just beautiful. And, so yeah, no complaints, man. But I am, you know, San Diego's damn near just as pretty. So I'm ready to get back in the routine, and back in the studio with you fellas. But yeah, listen, we've been delaying it. We got a pottery game to talk about. Certainly it did not go well last night. JP Sears, we can talk all about that. And just not a real good showing in the first game in Arizona last night.
Well, speaking of getting back to work and fill-ins, I believe we've got Kelly Danick back with traffic. We'll take a quick look at what's going on the roadways this morning, set your menu, and then we're off and running here with Bennett Woods on a Tuesday morning on 97.3 The Fan. All right, a little surprise early. I waited all show yesterday. Not going to do it today. I'm going to give the early risers a chance to win Padres Red Sox tickets for Friday right now. Be nice. The sixth caller at 833-288-0973. In the chat, on the app, start dialing 833-288-0973. You can win two tickets to the Padres-Red Sox game this Friday to open the series. It is Cocktail Fest at Petco Park from the time the gates open to the first pitch at 6:40 with $5 drink specials and live music in Gallagher Square. You can visit Padres.com/tickets to get your own seats for Padres-Red Sox on Friday night. All right, coming up, our Padres crap up. Yes, it was a bad game by JP Sears. Is there a bigger concern about the Padres' back end of the starting rotation now that Ryan Burgert and Steven Kolek are both gone? We can talk about that coming up as we discuss last night's game, Woods. Also, got a very positive update on Michael King. We'll hear from Mike Shildt what he had to say about the potential return of the Padres pitching ace, maybe sooner than we all expected. Talk about that in our 7 o'clock hour. And then at 8:35, Jesse Agler will join us from the Valley of the Sun doing TV this week, but he will check in, as he always does, on Tuesday to talk Padres baseball. In and around that, the rest of our regular features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods, and the Rindle Report, all coming up between now and 10 o'clock. You ready to go, guys?
Let's do it.
Ready to jam.
All right, Paulie's going to pick a winner, and we are off and running. Let's do this on a Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Congratulations to Tier 1 Andrew. Took home the Red Sox tickets for Friday's game. Everyone else, sorry, we will have more tickets to give away the rest of the week. And Gwen and Chris, I believe, are giving away tickets to Saturday's game.
Correct.
Against the Red Sox as well. So stay tuned all day long here on 97.3 The Fan for your chance to win Padres tickets. Woods, I don't know if you're checking email as religiously, but did you see the email from our head engineer, JR, yesterday?
No, I did not.
We are losing our vending machine here at the Odyssey
already.
Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we just
got a brand new vending machine
a couple of months ago.
It's brand new.
And he said, we aren't using it enough and they're taking it away. And I didn't even know that that was a thing, that you could have your vending machine repossessed because apparently you weren't using it enough. You're the one who probably goes and grabs snacks most often in the morning.
No, I've never used it.
You've never used that one either.
Never
I haven't used the new one. Yeah,
never. I've never put a dollar in it.
I think I bought a water. I bought a water because I left my water bottle at home.
I guess I didn't realize it was a use it or lose it situation.
I didn't either.
I don't really use the vending machine either, but it's always nice to know that it's there just in case. You know.
Now I'll want something
constantly.
You better hurry.
Now I will. Oh, so that. I missed that entirely.
I know.
Oh. Wow. Wow. You guys aren't using the... So if he's telling me if I went in, you know, I'm not there today, but if you went in and you bought, you know, 40 items out of it, we'd get to keep it? Is that how it works?
Or is it already done? Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize there was, like, minimums, like... You have to meet your minimums or you don't get a vending machine anymore. There's people who are waiting on the waiting list for vending machines, apparently, that are moving up because we're not using ours enough.
It's like a kidney. Yeah, it's like a kidney. It's a kidney list. Holy cow, man. That is really, really something.
So if your office is on the vending machine waiting list somewhere in San Diego, you could be getting the call any day now that you'll be getting the Odyssey vending machine that we apparently are not using enough.
I guess we haven't heard about the vending machine shortage, Carlos. You're right. I have, in the last year... I've just started bringing, you know, healthier options into, apparently eating a Twix bar and a Dr. Pepper isn't the greatest thing that a man can do as he goes into his 50s. So I have started bringing in, you know, protein shakes, some fruit, yogurt, things like that. And I guess I have, I'll bear some of the brunt of this. But I made
my first batch ever of overnight oats. I'm trying to get into overnight oats, and they are outstanding.
But they're not from the vending machine.
Those are not from the vending machine. I made those, and I brought them in, which is why I didn't need the vending machine.
So now it's no longer going to be an option here. No more vending machine. The only food we'll have is Thursdays when they bring the round table pizza in now.
Somebody said, Keegan said earlier, he goes, wait, you guys have to pay for snacks at work?
What? This is an Apple.
Yeah, we don't work at Google, Facebook. Buddy. Yeah. This is radio in the year 2025. We're lucky to be here, okay? And we're lucky that you're here.
We're like Billy Beane's Oakland A's. You got to pay for soda here?
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. I've never been anywhere where you got to pay for soda.
Yeah, it's a good point, Kurt. Paulie, you know how we do things on this show.
Oh, yeah.
When something dies and goes away, so...
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Him being the Odyssey vending machine. So, R.I.P.
R.I.P. I really was looking forward to getting that absolutely repugnant Philly cheesesteak that was
still in there.
That looks no one's ever bought one.
Maybe on Friday, if it's still here when you get back, we can have
a giant
vending machine feast. They can't really just take all the snacks with it, don't they? Do they have to leave the snacks behind, or do they move all the snacks with the vending machine to where it goes?
Yeah, I thought I figured you purchased the snacks that go inside it, you rent the machine, but I don't know, man. This is another shock to the system. While I'm out on vacation. This is just terrible.
Let's move on to some Padres baseball. I've been trying to avoid it because of the game last night, but no longer. Padres crap up. Highlights from Sam Levitt.
Do you guys like burritos or tacos more?
And Bob Scanlon coming up.
All right, fine.
After
we'll talk
Kelly's
about
traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
A shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
And the 0-1 ground ball towards the middle, base hit. Around third base comes Marte. Merrill picks it up, throws to third. Throw there, not in time. Throw to second, not in time. It's an RBI base hit for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And Arizona jumps in front, 1-0 here in the first inning. 1-1 on Carroll. And the pitch. Swinging a fly ball left field. Drifting over Laureano by the line. This should get a run in. Laureano makes the catch. Tacking up from third base Alexander. He'll score standing. Flip to third base after the cutoff. Not in time. So run score. Sac fly. RBI for Corbin Carroll. And Arizona takes a 2-0 lead. 1-1. Swinging a ground ball, base hit, into left center. Manny racing around third, he'll score easily. Cut off in the gap, Merrill racing for second, and he's in there with a stand-up two-out RBI double. Padres cut the deficit in half, it's 2-1. First pitch on the way. Swinging a high fly ball into left. Going back, Laureano, he's looking up, and this one is way gone. Tyler Locklear, his first home run as a Diamondback. Just like that, Arizona gets the run right back. It's 3-1.
Here comes Seth. First pitch, Carroll swung on. Fly ball, right field, pretty well hit. Fernando's going back. He's not going to get there. It's going to be off the wall. One run is in. Here comes the throw to second base. Carroll is safe with a double. And Diamondbacks have a 4-1 lead as Barroso scores on the double by Corbin Carroll. Sears working out of the stretch. Pitch. A little pop up towards right field. Jake's coming in. The outfielders are coming in. It's going to land in for a base hit. Another run is going to score as Fernando finally gets to it in no man's land. He throws home. And on the play, Marte scores. 5-1 Diamondbacks here in the fourth. The 1-2 pitch. Line drive, base hit into right field. In front of the right fielder. Gavin Sheets is going to be set. He's going to score. Padres now trail 5-2 on the RBI single by Jake Cronenworth. The rally continues for the Padres here with two outs in the sixth.
Matsui fires home. Swinging a high fly ball into right. Tatis going back. He's looking up and it's gone. A solo home run for Alec Thomas. It's eighth of the season and the D-backs get an insurance run. It's now 6-2 here in the eighth inning. 1-0. Swinging a high fly ball into center. Thomas racing back by the warning track. He's at the wall. He leaps and he makes the catch in front of the fence. Excellent running play by Alec Thomas in dead center. And that'll do it. Diamondbacks win it 6-2 as they take this series opener in Phoenix.
You know, they put a lot of good swings on them. I give them a lot of credit that we gutted up. You know, it's not like where we're set up today, we could go and, you know, we didn't have a long man and, you know, we don't want to use our up guys either and had Morgan down and Estrada down. So, anyway, he gutted up. Found a way to, you know, gut through five and give us a chance. But, yeah, just too many pitches more in the middle of the part of the plate, and they, you know, took some good at-bats together.
Yeah, they did. They had some nice swings off of J.P. Sears early, Benny. And, you know, again, I was listening to the broadcast as I was going to pick up pizza, listening to – who was I listening to on the – I had the TV on in the car on the app, and it was Jesse and Mudd. And, you know, Mudd's like, man, honestly, this game should be about 9-0 right now. We were saying the same in our group chat. I mean, I guess you tip your hat a little bit for battling in and out of some traffic that you created. But they were all over him. They were all over him. Wasn't fooling a lot of guys. You know, early had really good swings on him. And yeah, man, couple runs, each inning, it felt like, but kept him kind of in the ball game, made it through five innings. But yeah, not great. Not great.
I got this tweet from at KGG169 during the game. Just to me, at Ben Higgins SD. Sears sucks. Say it.
All right. Oh.
Is this like a Breaking Bad situation that, like, I need to say it specifically on the air, Ken, to make you happy that Sears sucks? He sucked last night. I mean, he was bad.
Yeah,
it was arguably one of the worst starts of his career. He had never given up 10 hits, gave up 10 hits in five innings. He was not good. Now, I'm not going to base my entire judgment on J.P. Sears on his first start with a new team, with a new catcher, in a ballpark that he's unfamiliar with, that's a hitter's haven. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to say, well, let's release J.P. Sears. He's probably going to be a part of this Padres rotation for the next couple of years going
minus
forward.
Minus probably. But yeah, he's probably your five next year.
Whether or not you're going to be able to rely on him the rest of the season is a big question. He may go back down to AAA as soon as today. I certainly saw some speculation with Nestor Cortes going to pitch on Wednesday, and we'll get that update from Mike Schild on Michael King, but with the chance that Michael King returns to the rotation soon, Randy Vasquez could always come back up. There's no need to continue to throw J.P. Sears if you don't have confidence in him. They picked him up, though, because they wanted him. In fact, I was reading this morning in The Athletic that when A.J. Preller started trade negotiations with the A's about Mason Miller, the conversation really started about J.P. Sears, and then it escalated to include a massive deal with Leo DeVries and Mason Miller. But originally, it was A.J. targeting J.P. Sears as a left-handed, back-of-the-rotation option, controllable for the Padres. So A.J. he wasn't a throw-in. He likes J.P. Sears. He sees a future for J.P. Sears with the San Diego Padres. So let's not just throw J.P. Sears onto the scrap heap of, well, we tried him once and, you know, hopefully we never see him again. That's not the case, and that's not what's going to happen here. And you saw little glimpses, as you said, Woods, when he battled out of some jams and got some swing and miss and strikeouts. There were some glimpses, and he did at least one thing that the Padres absolutely, positively needed J.P. Sears to do. He didn't win the game. He didn't hold them in check at all. He probably should have given up, as you said, 8, 9, 10 runs. But he finished 5 innings. He allowed the bullpen to only use Wandy Peralta and Yuki Matsui. Everyone else got a rest that kind of needed a rest, and everyone's going to be fresh that you want to be fresh going into Game 2 of this series today. And at the very least, if you're going to take an L, you didn't compound it by having to be pulled in the game after 2 1/3 innings. So at least J.P. Sears got through 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only thing that you can look to and say that, job well done on that. We absolutely had to have it. But I would expect him with the options that he has, Benny, and the news that Michael King's coming back and Nestor Cortez is coming up. You know, you got to maneuver some things around. So I would expect him to be out. Would Nestor take his place on the roster then? Is that how that
Nestor's already on the roster? So they'd probably bring up a Hoeing or some other long bullpen option. That in case you do have to pull Yu Darvish for whatever reason early in the game, you wouldn't have to go to Mason Miller in the third inning if you were down like 4-1. So I would think that there's a possibility you're going to make a move like that before the game today. We'll see what A.J. Preller decides to do. But it does at least beg the question. Like, one concern when you trade Ryan Burgert and Steven Kolek, who have provided a lot of good, useful innings for you this season out of the starting rotation, will you have a shortage at the back end of your rotation? Right now, you've got 7 starting pitchers. If you think Michael King is coming back, you've got King, Cease, Pivetta, Darvish, Sears, Cortez, and Randy Vasquez in the minor leagues right now. So, you know, should be able to find 5 guys who can make regular starts out of those 7. But if J.P. Sears isn't reliable, we don't know what we're going to get out of Nestor Cortez. He's only pitched twice this season. Randy Vasquez is coming off a rough start and was sent down to the minor leagues. You're going to need one of those 3 guys. Assuming the other 4 are healthy and Michael King comes back okay and Yu Darvish pitches like he did in his last start, which are none of them are guaranteed, you are still going to need at least one of those guys to take the ball every 5th day and hopefully give your team a chance to win. Not that you can't lose a few games. You're going to lose some games going forward.
Yes.
But if you want to catch the Dodgers, you're going to have to win some of those games from the back end of your rotation as well. You're going to have to play some good baseball, which means you can't just be punting even every 5th game the rest of the way because, well, all of our back end guys have been struggling here, and we gave up Burgert and Kolek in the trade. So that's, if I have one concern going forward, it is about that 5th starter spot in the back end of the Padres starting rotation.
Well, I mean, I have another concern, and that would be, well, there's 2 actually that I wanted to highlight. One being, this is the 2nd time in a few weeks that Brandon Fott has had a horrific game and then came back against the San Diego Padres and was lights out, you know, against Detroit, gave up 7 earned runs, 3 home runs that game, comes out against the Padres, goes 5 2/3, 2 runs, 2 earned runs. He did walk 3, struck out 4. I mean, again, hittable pitches in the zone. I go back to an AB, Ramon Laureano, who I really I love the pickup. Laureano missed about 4 hangers in the zone that he missed in his AB. I mean, just like, you can't draw them up any better. Manny with a terrible AB in the first when you had him on the ropes. Just kind of sets the tone. But of course he did it. You know, he pitched against the Giants in July, gave up Four runs then, comes in against the Padres, shuts them, you know, dominates them for eight innings, gives up two earned runs. Brandon Pfaadt is for whatever reason, they don't see it out of his hand very well. So that's one concern. The other concern is the offense, you know, and not being able to put the foot on the jugular last night when he walks the first two guys of the game and, you know, you get nothing out of it. So, the offense remains, something that you look at and go, all right, guys, you know, at some point we need to be consistently putting up 4 to 5 runs every single night, especially when you know you got, you know, a soft tossing lefty, on the hill in a hitter's ballpark. You know, it's a hitter's ballpark for us too, you know, absolutely. So it just, the offense did not look great last night. I feel like, you know, I love the Jake Cronenworth AB. I feel like if that ball goes to the wall, he's standing on third. I think two runs are in. We cut the lead to two. Yeah, man, you never know at that point. Would like to see Ryan O'Hearn in the lineup every single day. That's kind of why you got him. I love Sheets. I love what he's done. But I think, you know, I can understand the logic of putting him in last night as he's homered off Pfaadt in the last game, and you want to get him a start, keep him fresh. But just a rough offensive output for the boys last night.
Yeah, and I don't want to be unfair. The offense has been pretty consistently good the last couple of weeks. We've seen a lot of 5, 6, 7 run performances. This is more of the outlier lately than the norm. It used to be the norm, and the outlier was when they scored 5 or 6. Now it's kind of flipped, so you're still going to have games like this. And yeah, for whatever reason, Brandon Pfaadt just seems to be a bit of Padres kryptonite. Has been since he came up, you know, as a rookie. He just always seems to give the Padres problems. Bob did have some good skinalysis at the end of the game, though. I was listening on at the end as they were wrapping things up, and he said, when he came out, first couple of batters, Tatis and Arraez, he was trying to get his sweeper and his changeup in, and he couldn't. And he walked both of them. I mean, you've got to work to walk Luis Arraez. You better be missing
really
big
do.
To walk Luis Arraez. And he did, and the Padres were set up well. James McCann, the catcher, then came to the mound, said something to Pfaadt, and he pretty much stopped throwing his sweeper and his changeup and went to the cutter and the sinker, which was much more effective. He got Manny looking on that backdoor cutter that, you know, came back across the plate. Manny was thinking, oh, this is going to be a slider or a sweeper. Tried to lay off of it, like he tried not to swing it, and he goes, yeah, you got me there. Gave that tip of the cap when he struck out, and, you know, the Padres did not cash in the first inning, and after that, you know, Pfaadt looked really comfortable, as so many pitchers do when they get out of a first inning jam. They get that feeling like a little confidence going and start rolling, and he did actually pitch, I thought, pretty well. Yeah, there was a couple guys like Laureano who missed a couple of hangers, and there were, you know, Merrill scorched that double. There were a couple of opportunities to score, but for the most part, you know, it was a well-pitched game by Brandon Pfaadt, who just seems to own the San Diego Padres.
I mean, the highlight of the night was obviously Manny's double. I've never seen a slide like that. I thought he was out by 15 feet. And for him to get his foot in there was bananas. Bananas! And then Merrill ripping that double. I said, all right, now we're back in business, boys. And just was not to be. So going to tow it up again today. And need a big start from you, Darvish. Need the offense to come through.
All right, speaking... Paulie's has an RIP Odyssey vending machine graphic already up. All right, speaking of the pitching depth and the starting rotation, we'll get that update from Mike Shildt on Michael King and what is the next step in his return to the rotation coming up next year with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.